church leader in particular who he made an object of his personal attack. The man's name was Meidu Pa. And as a new believer and a new leader of this church, he was out one day going about his normal business, and this local government official called the Laird sent somebody to tell him that he had disobeyed an order and that he was to come in for punishment. Now, Meidu Pa knew that he hadn't done anything. This was just a government official looking for an excuse to persecute a Christian. So he called Meidu Pa in, and the punishment was a beating. Not just a normal beating, but a beating that was so severe that it left him unconscious in the public square. And word traveled around to the Christian community very rapidly, and they came to this grim scene of their leader beaten unconscious. Beaten so severely it would take him 3 days before he was even able to walk. And put yourself in this young Christian community. Was their leader going to stand up for their faith? Or was he going to give in and say, guys, you know what, this is just too difficult? Think about what you would be praying in that situation. Would you be praying primarily for his health and recovery? Would you primarily be praying that the oppression would end? That we as Christians would have the liberty and freedom to practice our faith without oppression? What would you be praying? The Apostle Paul was in a very similar situation. If we look in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3, I apologize, I don't have a PowerPoint tonight. But Ephesians chapter 3, he spent most of chapter 3 explaining about the mystery of the gospel, that the Creator God wants to have a relationship not just with Jews, but with Gentiles, with all people of the world. Unfortunately, not everybody was pleased with that message. And many times, Paul was beaten and tortured. And so he says in verse 13, after explaining the mystery of the gospel, he says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The Ephesians were concerned that Paul's suffering was either unnecessary or that they should be doing something to alleviate that. But instead he says this, for this reason, because I don't want you to lose heart over what I'm suffering, he prays a threefold prayer. And it's fascinating as we go through this, he builds on each aspect of what he's praying to come to a climax of what he is praying for these believers. So he says in verse 14, for this reason, because I don't want you to lose heart, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was recognizing God's supremacy in all things that happen, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, recognizing that the Father is not just the head of Christ, but the head of each individual person in whom we find our authority. And this is what he prays. He says, I bow my knees that. And the word that there, think in order that. I'm doing this in order that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner being. In the face of persecution, Paul prays that they would have not an external strength or physical show of prowess, but that the Holy Spirit would strengthen them internally, that there would be a spiritual renewal in Christ. So he prays that they would be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, in order that you be rooted and grounded in love. Not just a superficial love, but the love of Christ. And I apologize, it's not in order that, but explaining what this dwelling in Christ looks like. It looks like you being rooted and grounded in love. And here's where the in order that comes in. If you have an ESV, it may say that. The New King James says may be able to, but the idea is another in order that. So he bows his knee before the Father in order that you would be strengthened. You're strengthened in order that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints various things that we'll get into. But it's in order that as a community, we come together, just like we're doing here tonight, to strengthen one another, to be rooted and grounded in love, and then to comprehend as a group something absolutely magnificent. What is that? He says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height of something. We're going to get to that in verse 19, but it's a dual idea of comprehending, and then in verse 19, of knowing the love of Christ. To comprehend it in your mind, to ponder, to think about the love of Christ, the height of the love of Christ, the width of the love of Christ, everything that it encompasses, the depth of the love of Christ. To comprehend that, but then also as a group to know it in an experiential way. To know this love of Christ, which Paul says in the rest of verse 19, which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In the original, it comes across as that you would know the unknowable love of Christ. How in the world does that happen? It comes about in two ways. The first one is Paul's third in order that. So he bows his knee before the Father in order that they would be strengthened. He prays that they would be strengthened in order that they may comprehend the love of Christ. And he prays that they would comprehend the love of Christ in order that, the rest of verse 19, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is Paul's three-pronged prayer for believers who are viewing the suffering of another believer, mainly Paul, but also Paul's prayer for those that are going through suffering. It's fascinating that it's not primarily to alleviate the suffering or freedom from the suffering, but that they would be strengthened, that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ, that they would have a full understanding of this love of Christ that is unknowable. Anybody feel you can do that? Yeah, I didn't think so. So how in the world do you know experientially this unknowable love of Christ? Paul says in verse 20, now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do this in your life and in the lives of the person sitting next to you. To teach them, to teach you the unknowable love of Christ. And what is the purpose? It's not so that we can stand up as a group and say, wow, look at what a great church we are. But in verse 21, it's to God's glory. To him be glory, yes, in the church, but his is the glory, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, amen. That is the type of prayer that we should be praying for all those going through any type of suffering, whether it be a physical ailment that someone's dealing with, or a spiritual persecution, or anything that we could conceive of to pray primarily that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ in order that they may be able to know the love of Christ, in order that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is a power that is at work in you right now. It's not something that you have to wait for. The Holy Spirit at work in you right now is ready to do this work. God is willing to answer this prayer. So the church back in China, as Mademu Pa recovered, their fear was that he would turn from his faith. And what was the answer to the prayer? Would he turn? No. He was going to go on in faith. Because he was rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. the Holy Spirit had worked in him to comprehend and know the unknowable love of Christ. And that energized and empowered him. So my prayer for us tonight is that as we move into the time of prayer requests, are there physical needs that we have? Yes. Should we bring those to God? Most certainly. Are there spiritual challenges that we're facing? Yes. Are there financial difficulties? Definitely. We need to bring these to Christ. But undergirding all of that and surrounding all that and covering all of it needs to be this overriding cry of all of our hearts that we and those who we're praying for would know the love of Christ and be rooted and grounded in him, and that God would use those circumstances to accomplish that through his Spirit. So let's pray and ask God right now for the grace to do that tonight and ongoing in our prayer lives.